Hi, I am so happy to be rocking with you again. Thank you for just still continuing to rock with me, you guys. I needed to and had to take a brief hiatus, and I'll explain why, and that will not be the expectancy of this podcast. My whole thought process with doing this podcast is I need to be inspired. You want to be inspired, you want to be motivated, and you want to have things to talk about. And if I don't feel inspired and said things, motivated and inspired, then I don't want to come on this podcast and spew all of the things that are going on with me in a negative light. I want to be able to come on here and talk to you in a conversation and be able to tell you what's going on with me, hey, because I need that, and I appreciate that, and I value that, and I just want people to know, and my friends who have reached out to know that I value that, and I appreciate that more than anything, because your girl has been going through it, and that's why this podcast had to go on a hiatus, you guys, because I didn't want to come on here and just be such a negative Nancy or Debbie Downer. I just didn't want to talk about all the negative things that have been going on with me, but that's why I created this podcast, because I wanted to be able to come on and talk to you about everything that has been going on with me. So for that, I apologize. And for that, I want you to know that I do respect your listening ear. I do respect your time. And I do respect you even tuning in to listen to this podcast. I truly do. So thank you again. So as of today is October 30th, 2019. The news came out today that Johnny Witherspoon, legendary actor from, we know him from The Boondocks. We know him from the father from Boomerang. We know him as Pops on the Marlon Wayans show. Just a legendary, respected actor. The father from Friday. Just a talent till the end. And it was shocking to me. He passed away at 77 years old. And while we don't know the cause of death, many would assume that it was just natural causes because he was 77. But you can't assume that it was natural causes, because the man was still acting. He was still out doing interviews. He was really vibrant. But, you know, he was 77. But again, that to me, in my mind, it's not young, but it's still not old. It's like he still had a lot of life to live, and he was still out there hustling and doing his thing and making people laugh. That was the thing that I loved most about him, is that he made people laugh all the time. He was on Black Jesus, and again, the Boondocks, the Marlon Wayans show. I'm trying to think. Oh, Friday. He was just constantly working and constantly hustling. And, you know, a lot of us know him from Boomerang, but he passed away. It was a note from his son. And I didn't even know he had a son on LinkedIn. And his son put a post on Instagram, not on LinkedIn, but his son placed a post on Instagram about his father. And as I am sitting here talking to you, let me see if I can find his son's Instagram post, just because I didn't know Mr. Witherspoon outside of the characters that he played on Boomerang and The Boondocks and Friday. Obviously, I don't know him, and I don't know his catalog. But I have an affinity for what he brought to the culture, and I have a respect for what he brought to the culture. So his son, I don't know his son's name, his son on Instagram is just JD Witherspoon, and he says, "So my dad died today. I honestly am not sure how to feel. I'm sad, but I'm also happy for all the great times we had together. We'd roast each other like homies, more than father and son, and I really love that about us. In all seriousness, I work hard as I do, thanks to seeing him grind for literally 77 years of his life, and I'm damn proud to be his son. If I even have half of the career and impact that he has had on people, I'd be very happy. His legacy will live on through me, my family, his friends, and everyone else who was touched by him here on earth. He was my best friend and my hero. I love you, Dad. I'll miss you. JD." That was his son, JD Witherspoon. So we will definitely miss Mr. Witherspoon. Just a legend in his right. He's made so many of us laugh, and he continues to make us laugh. As I, you know, looked on social media and just the internet today on some legendary clips that he's had on different shows. He's played characters on Martin. I saw today just made me laugh, and you know, you miss characters like that. It makes you think and know that life is such a precious thing. And you hear that adage about giving people their flowers while they are here on earth, and that is so immensely true today, as it is any other day, is to regard and respect the people in your life that have either given you life or have been meaningful to you in your life. So with that said, my mother and my aunt came to visit about a couple weeks ago here in Dallas, and I was over the moon happy that they were here. So my aunt Barbara and my mother, my aunt Cheryl and my mother Barbara were here about a couple weeks ago. They came here to Dallas. I was so excited to see them. And obviously I cried when they left, but when they were here, it just felt like home. I'm originally from Wisconsin. So they came from Wisconsin to visit me and my sister and my niece here, among other family members, just to, you know, check in and to say hi and just to connect. And it was just such a great week to see them and to talk with them and to fill them in on what was going on with me and my life, and to go out to eat with them and to talk with them. It was just a beautiful time to reconnect with my mother and my aunt and just family overall. And it was just really good. It's always really good to connect with your family. And I learned at the end of that visit, my mother had made the decision to work to relocate to Texas, the Dallas area. So yes, I am really excited, really, really excited to learn that she is looking to relocate here to the Dallas area. So I was just like, yay! And her biggest reason is because if you guys know Wisconsin, you know that our winters are the worst. And as my mother gets older, she's not 70 yet, she's 69, but as she gets older, she's starting to feel the winters on her body. I don't know how that feels or what that means, but when my mother tells me that winters are starting to have an effect on her body, I listen and I take her seriously. So my mother is working to make the transition to move here to Dallas. So that means she has to sell her house, she has to figure out her funds and all of those important things with moving to and relocating to another state in retirement, because my mother is currently retired, but she is wanting to move out of the state of Wisconsin and wanting to move to Texas, which I am happy about. So I'm excited about that. Also, let me say about another week or so ago, a week before my mother had got here, you guys, you all know that I am a wine enthusiast. I love wine. I love to drink it. I love to talk about it. I love to be educated about it. I volunteered for, it was a wine weekend in Salina, Texas, for a winery here in Texas. I didn't even know Texas had wineries just because of the, it's Texas. I mean, who thinks of wine in Texas? I never did, but you know, you learn something new every day. When I first got here to Texas, I went to a festival, a grape, G-R-A-P-E, vine festival in Texas. And I was just like, oh, Texas, they make wines. And I learned that. But yeah, so Texas, they make wines here. And I recently volunteered with a winery for a festival here, and it was a great event, you guys. And majority of the people that I interacted with didn't look like me. There were some chocolate chips in there, and they interacted with me, and the person that volunteered with me, Chandra, she was also a person of color, a black woman, and it was a great event. It was a really great event. I don't know. It's hard for me to say if the people that were great because they were inebriated drinking wine or just simply because they were friendly people. A lot of the people in Salina that we interacted with were great. They were really great. And interestingly enough, me and Chandra, we went to Panera for lunch before the festival. And this guy, white gentleman, who introduced himself as a former sheriff of that town, he felt inclined to ask us what we thought about the Bootham John case. My friend Chandra that was with me thought it interesting. And she belted out her thoughts on what she thought about it. And I didn't belt out my thoughts about it, but it was just interesting that this white, older gentleman felt inclined to go up to the two black women and ask them what they thought about the Bootham John case. We have a lot of thoughts on it. I have a lot of thoughts on it. I've shared my thoughts on it that I won't reiterate here on this podcast. Please go to beautifulbrowngirls.com, hashtag brownversations, and on our episode, not this week but last week, to see what we thought about it. But I thought it was interesting that this gentleman came up to us to ask us about what we thought about it. We shared our thoughts, and that was it. But we are in Texas. Those are things that I expect. In Texas, you expect white people to come up to you and ask you certain things. And in those situations, you have to be on your toes and think on your feet and make sure that you aren't kowtowing to how you're supposed to respond, but responding to how you genuinely want to respond. And in that response, teaching them a lesson. So if it's offensive to you, respond so that they know it's offensive, and respond so that they know it's a teaching lesson as to how you should approach a black person in said situation. But in this particular situation, I didn't feel offended that he felt inclined to ask the two black women in Panera, how do you feel about the Bootham John case? I mean, we all know it was some bullshit in the sentence. We all know it was some bullshit in how the judge, the brother, and the bailiff all acted like they were mammying and coddling a white woman. It was just, I don't want to go into it in the Bet on a Black Woman podcast, but that's how it felt to a lot of people in the black community. So that's that. So, yeah. So, let's see. Bet on a black woman. My job search, you guys. My job search has been going. That's a big part of the reason why I had to go on a hiatus, just because, you know, job searching is a job in itself. And when you're constantly going through rejections, I had a really bad week about a couple weeks ago, and it was just so bad. And, you know, the constant rejections, the no calls, no responses on LinkedIn, it was just bad. It's just up and down, you know? And I have to remember that this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And I have to constantly think of ways to motivate myself and to have a accountability partner. So I did. I found an accountability partner, and I'm hoping that Farah still wants to be my accountability partner. We have been checking on each other weekly just to make sure that we are on track, and just to make sure that we making sure that we are on track and checking up on each other to see that, make sure that each other is okay. So this is a young lady. Her name is Farah. I met her on LinkedIn. She is currently a woman of color, black woman, who is currently job searching as well. And we just connected on via a LinkedIn post. I forget what the LinkedIn post was, but I reached out to her, and then we started talking, and then ever since then, we've just been conversing on our statuses and sharing tips and tricks, and it's been good. And yes, I reached out to her, and I asked her if she would be willing to be a guest on this podcast, and she said yes. So yeah, that was a couple weeks ago. So I will get Farah on the podcast. Interestingly enough, speaking of interviews, I had an interview last week, you guys, and I had to get a new phone, because the day that I had a phone interview, my phone battery died the day before. Literally died. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, it's showing that it needs to be charged. It's trying to charge, so I'll just give it to the morning to charge. Come morning time, it's still like not coming on. So I'm just like, shit, how am I going to do this interview? Right. So thank goodness I'm a tech person. I'm a technology person. So I have a tablet that I use. It's not an iPad, but it's a tablet that I got from my old job. So I was like, okay, I have this tablet. I have a Google Voice number that I've used for quite some time, so let me connect on my Google Voice number. So I had to reach out to that guy, to the interviewer, that morning via email to ask him to call me at my Google Voice number on my tablet. I had to connect my tablet to my internet, and I had to have a phone interview on my tablet, which I did not like, but you do what you have to do, right? So that was a clear indication that I needed to get a new phone. I had my iPhone 6S since 2015. We are in 2019. So yes, I needed a new phone. And I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking. You're like, okay, iPhone, usually when they come out with new phones, they try to make the battery go dead. And I am a firm believer in that as well. But I've had this phone since 2015. I looked at my battery health. It was like it's 64%. And according to Apple people, that's not good. So I needed a new phone. So I had to get a new phone. Womp womp, right? So I had to get a new phone. And I did. And I'm still trying to get used to the whole not having a home button. So that's kind of new to me. I had a recruiter look at my resume about a month ago. And then another recruiter reached out to me about that recruiter's feedback about 2 weeks ago. And the recruiter that looked at it was a technical recruiter. And he and the recruiter that sent me his feedback was an African-American, a black recruiter that I also have a good rapport with here in Dallas. And he sent me his feedback. He didn't say, Sabrina, this is what you need to change. He just sent me his feedback as an FYI. And one of the tips that this recruiter sent back was, and I can only assume this was a white recruiter, is he suggested that I remove the things that identify me as black, i.e. my sorority, i.e. my tenure involvement with the Urban League of Milwaukee, the Urban League of Charlotte, and the Urban League of Dallas. And I said, no, I'm not going to erase my blackness for the sake of trying to get a job. I didn't say that to the recruiter per se. Well, I did tell him. I did tell the black recruiter, these aren't things that I'm going to compromise my identity and remove because this is a big part of who I am. These organizations have contributed to a big part of me and my personal and professional development, personally and professionally, and I'm not interested in hiding my black influences in my career. And I just thought that that was interesting and telling and kind of alarming that, you know, someone suggested remove her sorority and remove her Urban League influences. And I get that a lot of white people don't understand with when it comes to the black community, that when it comes to sororities, it's not just a college thing. This is a lifelong thing. So once you're in a sorority, you're in it forever. So yes, we have grad chapters. I have grad chapters that I'm in. My sorority is Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Okay. That is my sorority. And I am proud of it. I am proud of the work that I've done in that organization. I am proud of to be a member of it. I am proud to have worked with the National Urban League Young Professionals nationally, locally, in the city of Milwaukee, in the city of Charlotte, and in the city of Dallas. So those aren't things that I'm willing to compromise and remove for the sake of getting a job. Those are things, these are organizations that have helped shape me personally and professionally and as a person. These are organizations that have helped me hone my leadership skills, my public speaking skills, my winning awards, and these are organizations that have helped mold me. How freaking dare you ask me to remove these organizations because they are synonymous with being black? That is a first for me. So when I said that I can assume that this was a white recruiter that suggested that I remove that, I can only assume that it was a white recruiter. I may be wrong, but I don't think so. So yes, needless to say, I'm not removing Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, nor am I removing the Urban League from my resume. We had a couple tornadoes here in Dallas. Actually seven. I heard one report that said six. I heard another that said seven. But we had some tornadoes here in Dallas about a week and a half ago that scared the bejesus out of me. Like, we've had storms here in Dallas before, but this one scared me because I didn't know that a city as so densely populated as Dallas could have a tornado run through it. And it did. I knew Texas could get tornadoes. I wasn't as privy and aware that a city again as so densely populated as Dallas could get a tornado. Like, a tornado literally ran through the middle of Dallas. So that just debunked all types of myths about my perceptions surrounding tornadoes and Dallas. It did some damage, you guys, and it scared a lot of people and Thankfully, there were no fatalities. There was just a lot of damage. So, while I, you know, still I do enjoy the city of Dallas. It was just a scary moment. And it is what it is. It's Mother Nature, you guys. You can't hide from it. It is what it is. Like, I moved here from North Carolina. In North Carolina, you get really bad hurricanes. I moved from Wisconsin, and in Wisconsin, you get snow that's immensely high. Like, I will take their tornado weather over snow that I have to shovel to break, that will potentially break your back. Yeah, it was scary. So thank God that people that I know in my circle and in my social circle weren't affected by it. Can I also tell you guys really quickly that with me and my job search, so I'm still job searching, and I'll let me just go right into that. I have been going on interviews and have multiple phone interviews, so that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing. So I had a in-person interview this past Monday. I have another phone interview tomorrow, and I have a couple set up for next week, Monday and Tuesday. So I'm really looking forward to those. But there was one particular interviewer that reached out to me. I applied for this job, but I guess that I didn't read the job description very clearly. I'm pretty sure that I did, but something made me. So what happens when I apply for roles is I look at the opportunity, I look at the job description, and I look to see, can my background and skills potentially suffice that role? Okay, yeah, it can. Then I look at the job, then I look and see if I can immerse myself and ingratiate myself into that company. Okay, I can, then I'll apply, okay? So that's what I did for this particular role. I forget the name of it, but whatever. So I did, and they reached out to me, and what I did was I keep track of all the roles that I apply for on an Excel spreadsheet. So I went back to look to see what this company was, what the position was, and I was like, okay. So then I looked, went back on the internet, and I looked to see if the job description was still up, and it wasn't, and I had to keep doing some digging and digging and digging and digging to find it, and I finally found the job description, and within reading that job description, it said pro bono. Now, I know what pro bono means. We all know what pro bono means. Pro bono means work for free, essentially. So I just wanted to make sure when this person reached out to me, I said, is this a paid role? I just want to make sure. And he said, no, it's not a paid role, but we're hoping that you would be willing to work for a ownership stake in the company. We really would like for you to interview with us because we have the CFO coming in. I'm like, you guys have a CFO, but you're wanting to pay me nothing? No, thank you, sir. No, thank you. So I was just like, I can't believe he's literally asking me, Sabrina, would you be willing to work for free just for an ownership stake in the company, a potential ownership stake in the company? And I quickly said, no, I am not interested in working for free. I'm interested in working for a paycheck, not for an ownership stake. So that was interesting. So yeah, I said no on that. But he really wanted me to come in. I'm sure you really want me to come in and work for free, as I'm sure a lot of companies would really like for their employees to work for free, right? So I said no on that one. I forget the name of the company. It's not important right now, but I just thought that was funny. So I want this podcast to be conversational. I want us to have a conversation. I want us just to talk. I want us to just have a rapport where we just come and shoot the shit about what's going on with me, what's going on with you. I will say the highlight over the past couple of weeks is being able to meet other women who are going through what I'm going through and being able to cultivate a relationship with them and to ultimately build a friendship with them and have us connect on a solid ground. And it just feels really good to have a support system. My friend Hawanya, shout out to you. You are still my support system. You have constantly been my support system. So thank you for being my friend. Period. I think now in 2019, it's really hard for some people to know what it is to be a friend. Even if you disagree, and even if you don't like some things that people say, or even if you have arguments, you can still come back and be centered and be friends. And I'm not saying that's the situation with me and Hawanya. I will just say that it just feels really good to have someone in your corner. It just really feels good. And it feels good to have you guys still rocking with me on here. I want to thank you for still being here with me and sticking with me and hearing what I have to say and sticking with me throughout my journey, because this is definitely a journey that is hard. It's hard for me to come on this mic and to talk about the things that I'm going through, but I do this because it's cathartic. I do this because I want to be a beacon of hope and a resource for another Black woman who's also going through my situation, and to be a resource for her. So with that, I want to thank you again for tuning in to Bet on a Black Woman. If you want to reach out, if you have some thoughts, please reach out to me at betonablackwoman@gmail.com. It's B-E-T, betonablackwoman@gmail.com. If you have some thoughts on anything that I've talked about on my podcast, I would absolutely love to hear from you. I'm all about feedback, critical and positive. If you don't like the podcast, that's okay. But if you do, I would like to hear from you. I appreciate you tuning in, and we'll check you out next time. Bye.